3 years. A very good writer, I might add, one of the best in the sports staff. Last week, Christine, the former Mike Penner, announced in a column that she was a transitioning transsexual. It became the most read story on the paper's website for the month of April, and we're pleased to have the first live interview with Daniel since her return. Christine, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jay. John, nice nice talking to you guys.
Hey, Christine, I wanted to ask you, has anything eventful been happening in your life the past few weeks or anything?
just dull, run-of-the-mill.
Yeah, I know.
Nothing unusual, same old, same old.
Christine, I wanted to ask you, why did you decide to go public with this?
Honestly, Jay, not my decision. Initially, I would have preferred to have gone stealth, as they say. I would have preferred to, I mean, when you think about it, a transition, changing your gender, changing your identity, changing everything in your life ought to be done. It's a very personal thing. It ought to be done in private.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
I had no choice because of my 23 years with the Times, and I wrestled. I mean, good Lord, I probably would have transitioned 5 to 10 years earlier if I had not been a sports writer at the LA Times. It was, I just went through hell trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. You know, would I lose my job? Would the fallout, the reaction just be too brutal for me to go through? And, anyways, I had started the coming out process to friends last July, and I told a good number of them, and before I talked to my sports editor, Randy Harvey, about 3 Mondays ago, and as soon as I told him that I was transsexual and planning my transition and wanted to know what the Times could do to help me, he said, well, he was great. I mean, he couldn't have been more supportive, and Randy's going to get some sort of transgender hero award for being so in my transition. He just can't pay enough. But he said, you know, this is a news story, Christine, and I don't know if you two are familiar with the Susan Stanton story in Florida. Susan, formerly Steve Stanton, was the 17 years, was the city manager at Largo, Florida.
Okay.
She, we've since become phone pals. We've talked about our situations. Anyways, about... She was planning to transition and make her announcement in June. She had been like me, though, and she had told some friends, please keep a lid on it, but this is what I'm going to, this is going to happen to me in June. Well, she told a friend who did not keep a lid on it, told another friend, and that friend told the local newspaper in Largo, Florida, which is not Los Angeles.
Right.
That story broke and became a major news event. I mean, she's been in Newsweek. She's been on Larry King. What happened was... they viewed that as, well, a public official, our city manager, since living a secret life of lying to the public, which is ludicrous. But anyways, they ended up firing her.
They
fired her. And so that hence it became a national story. Anyways, Randy knew the story. I knew the story. I was scared to death that something like that would happen to me.
Right.
And Randy said, we don't want that to happen. So we want to control this news. We're out in front of it. He ran it up. The higher-ups at our paper, Doug France, and it was quickly decided that we would print something on the Thursday, so April 26th, which is about a week and a half after I told Randy, and he said, how do you want to do this? And I said, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And he said, we need to be first with it, Christine. And I said, well, if anybody's going to write my story, I want it to be me. And so I wrote it, and... a couple days before publication, I feared April 26th would be the worst day of my life, and it ended up being maybe the best.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, Christine, this had to be awful, gut-wrenching is the best term I can think of at the moment, to go through all this. What was the impetus finally that made you take the step and just go ahead and do it? I mean, you said you know, you're a public figure through your sports writing. In that regard, you're a public figure. So you would be more involved than somebody else, like you said. I remember there was a guy from the Chicago Tribune that did this several years back, 20 years ago or something, had a lot of problems. What was the thing that made you just go ahead, I'm going to go ahead and do this?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, and I'm glad we can address this.
Yeah.
Because people my condition is called gender dysphoria, or what I had, and people assume, know nothing about this, and that's not their fault. They know, they're just unfamiliar with it. They think this is a choice. It is the furthest thing from the truth. I mean, as a choice, when you're transsexual and you get to a point, you can't go on unless you transition. And I had no choice. I had to do it or die, basically. And you reach a point. This is what your days are like, where. Presenting as Mike, presenting in male mode, was excruciatingly uncomfortable for me. I would go as I got closer to April, it was like I could go a couple days dressed as Mike, then I could go a day dressed as Mike, then I could go a half day, then a couple hours. It was getting worse and worse and worse. When you walk down the street and you see a woman and you burst into tears, because you look at them and you look at her and say, I'm the same as you inside. But everyone is looking at you as a woman, they're treating you as a woman, you're lucky. Why can't that happen to me? Or I'd walk to the public restroom, and you see the two doors, and you see the two logos, whatever, and the woman logo in the dress, and you look at that, and you can't go in, and you cry, bursting into tears. I would go entire days with the sensation that I was going to cry at any minute. You have this, you feel like your tears are just dammed up behind your eyeballs. You feel like you're going to jump out of your skin. You want to scream. You can't think. I mean, writing got extremely difficult for me.
Yeah.
Conversing got extremely difficult for me. I remember, Jay, the day I told Randy, it was a Monday. I was supposed to meet him at 11 o'clock in the morning to talk about this. And I was anxiety-ridden already, and Randy had just gotten back from a week out of the office. He had a lot of people going in and out of his office with busy stuff, and anyways, I had to stand outside his office for 10 minutes, and one of the people in our staff, Bob Rowe, came up to me and started making small talk, and I sort of, I just wanted to scream, I wanted to run away. I said, God, just let me, I can't, I couldn't focus. And Bob's a good friend of mine, a long time friend. I couldn't focus. I said, Bob, what'd you say? What'd you say? I can't even think. And you have this white noise that's crowding out all your thoughts. You reach a point where I just couldn't keep functioning like that. And presenting as Mike. At the same time, when I'm congruent, when I'm presenting as Christine, when I go into the office as Christine now, I am completely comfortable. I'm happy. Bill Dwyer's noticed that. He's never seen you happier. Randy, the same thing. My writing is much better. I am much more outgoing. I'm friendlier. I mean, it's just night and day. So I'm finally congruent. And I was headed down a bad road towards a dark place if I had not transitioned.
Do you think, this might be sensitive, do you think that there's been a lot of people in your condition that couldn't take that step and maybe took their own life and things like that?
There's no doubt about it. And it's just a horrendously high suicide attempt rate among transgender people. And about last August, when I couldn't get out of bed, when my third antidepressant was failing me, when I couldn't stop crying, when you looked at my bedroom and there was wadded up Kleenex tissues all over the bedroom floor, I was not suicidal, but I could understand. I was thinking there, I was laying there, and I could understand why people would attempt it. And I got through that period, looking back on this, I don't think a human being could feel worse than survive that summer I had last year.
We're joined here by Christine Daniels of the Los Angeles Times. Christine, I need to ask you, obviously this is a hot button issue, but how is the paper going to handle your role in the coverage of sports, or has your role been expanded into other areas of interest?
Yeah, JV, one of the fears among all transsexuals is, am I going to lose my job? In fact, 2 years ago when it looked like, I have no choice, I'm going to have to go down this path, how do I do it? I talked to a transsexual friend who went through her transition about 10 to 15 years earlier, and it's a huge difference in terms of the social and cultural landscape. She told me, well, Christine, if you really, really, really need to do this, just be prepared to lose your job and all your friends.
Wow.
And just think about that.
Yeah.
Just think about that. I've spent, you know, half a quarter century at a job I love, building up a
goodwill.
Lateral goodwill, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And you know, I think I'm good at what I do, and I have a lot of friends, and I just couldn't conceive of this. You know, talk about isolation, and no wonder a lot of trans women attempt suicide or go into deep depression. So, I found out the hard way through telling friends and getting ready to come out at work that that was not the case. And Randy, like I said, has just been a prince about this. As it turns out, I guess you'd call what else is happening to me a promotion. When I come back May 23rd from my vacation, I'll be starting an internet column on the website, a sports internet column called A Day in LA, and it's going to be a blog type style column, similar to the columns I do during the Olympics, mapping up the days. But I'll be filing like four or five times a day, just, you know, my thoughts, opinions, whatever, on what's happening in LA sports. And the Times is going to print, Ring Randy, we're going to print one or two of my items in the paper with a link, with a, like a little blurb, say, for the rest of Christine's column, go to latimes.com. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I'm going to continue doing my NFL column, which I thoroughly enjoy. We just kind of closed the deal on that one 2 days ago. And I started a blog I'm blogging about my transition called A Woman in Progress.
Hey, Jay, listen, Christine, you want to be our NFL expert we can call every few weeks to talk about the NFL? We'll gladly have you.
Yeah, sign me up. Just give me a wardrobe allowance.
Yeah. No, I mean, we love it, man, because I, you know, reading the column that you write, you have a lot of insight into it. Let me ask you one thing, and I hope, you know, I hope I'm not treading on, but I studied up on this a little bit after, you know, I mean, I know you. This is the first time I've ever known somebody. Now, this is, when people who get through this operation, there's a separation. It's not always a gay thing. I've read about this men that were straight become women. It's a cloudier issue than people think. It's not, sometimes obviously there's some gay men that get this operation, but it's not an exclusive situation like that. Am I correct?
You're correct on that.
That's a tough question to ask because I don't know if, you know, but I mean, I just wanted to get it out there.
No. I'm glad to get it out there because it's probably the most, well, it is the most confusing thing.
Yeah, misinterpreted,
misinterpreted when I've come out to friends. I would say probably 60-70% the first question I get when I say I'm transsexual, they say, does this mean you're gay? It has not, that sexual orientation, it has absolutely nothing, zero to do with gender identity. And I know that's hard for people to get their heads around, but I have transgender friends who have gone through the whole process, and I'll talk to you a little bit about the difference between the surgery and transition. They're totally different. A lot of people think they mean the same, but they don't. But anyways, I've had friends, and they've gone three routes. You know, as men, as in their male format, they are attracted to women. They go through the hormones, the surgery, the whole thing, and they're still attracted to women. They're still, you know, sexually attracted to women. Then there are those who are attracted to women. They go through the process, and they start to see men in a different light. And then there are those, and I have friends who have experienced this, they lose their sex drive pretty much, and then they describe themselves as asexual.
Asexual,
because you're cutting off, you know, your testosterone, which drives, you know, it's your sex drive hormone there. It's been a huge mistake, and we got to call some of our journalistic brethren on carpet for this. I never in my piece said I was having surgery. I said I'm going away for several weeks. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. A lot of transsexual women do not have the surgery because it's A, very expensive, like $20,000 plus in this country, and B, you have to have your medical markers in line, and you know, if you're overweight, I'm not fortunately, but if your heart's not right, or some of your internal organs aren't right, a doctor won't sign off on it. That's one. Two, they have standards. It's very, I mean, you just can't say, I'm going to change my sex tomorrow. You know, let's do it a week from Tuesday. You have to go through therapy. You have to see doctors. And once you say, I'd like to have this surgery, You have to go through a whole year living as a woman to see if this is right for you. It's called a real-life test. At least a year before you can get a physician's approval. And, you know, if and when I do want to have that, I'm beginning my fifth month living full-time. So we've got a ways to go, and I really don't know if and when I'm going to make that decision. And really, it's just nobody's business but mine.
Christine, you've got to go to a break here. Can you hold on for a couple of minutes?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. Christine Daniels will be back after these messages.
The secret to business success is doing one thing better than your competition. We're General Steel, and what we do better than anybody else is help expanding businesses and organizations grow with a new steel building. And we'll save you up to half the cost and half the time of conventional construction. If you're ready to grow and you want to learn how a steel building, get this, with a 50-year structural warranty can be part of your plans, call General Steel right now for a free quote. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298. Get the General Steel team of experts on your project right now to help turn your dream into a reality fast and save you money. Call right now. Don't wait for a free quote. Here's the number. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298.
How would you like to make a full-time income working from home? Now you can with the proven work-from-home system at homebiz47.com. That's homebiz, the number 47.com. Order your free work-at-home training package today. See how you could spend more time with your family and earn more income than you ever imagined.
Life is absolutely amazing now. I have a business that allows me to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. I can work from home and actually bring in a six-figure income. My husband will be retiring. I have corporate America in a few short months at the age of 36 and be coming home to work with me full-time. And our daughter will have both parents at home, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Order your free work-at-home training package and free DVD by logging on to homebiz47.com. Shipping is not included. Change your life. Log on to homebiz, the number 47.com. That's homebiz47.com. Is credit card debt making your life miserable?
Are you tired of harassing phone calls and struggling to make ends meet?
You may qualify for a little-known program through Debt Consultants of America.
This program allows you to pay back only a small portion of the credit card debt you owe.
In fact, up to 60% of your credit card debt could completely be wiped clean.
It's a proven program.
The best part is Debt Consultants of America does all the work for you.
Plus, you don't have to pay back a penny of the debt that they settle for you.
So grab all your credit card statements and call for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Their friendly counselors will give you all the details.
Call 800-761-3480. That's 800-761-3480.
You need to have at least $10,000 in credit card debt to qualify for this program.
For your free, no-obligation consultation, please call us. 800-761-3480. Call now. 800-761-3480.
You're listening to Sports Overnight America.
Welcome back to Sports Overnight America. John Willard here with Jay Christensen of the Los Angeles Times joining me. We're also joined by Christine Daniels of the Los Angeles Times. Christine, we have to go to the news here in about 30 seconds or so, but we'd love to have you stay on past the news and continue this dialogue if you'd be so kind as to stay with us.
Sure, that'd be fine.
It'd be great to have you. Now, we have a couple more questions for you, and I'm sure the listeners are interested. We'll be back here after these messages and the news on Sports Byline, Sports Overnight America here on Sports Byline USA Network with Christine Daniels, and we'll be back after this.
USA Radio Network News. I'm Jack DeRay reporting.
It is in my country's interest to see a reduction of this tension. I need a conducive, supportive regional environment for us, for my government to be able to succeed.
Iraqi Foreign Minister Hosha Zubari saying it's good for Iraq to see the two sides talking. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice meeting with her Iranian counterpart in a friendly chat over a dish of ice cream. They spent several days at the same Egyptian resort, but were really never able to meet. Then when they finally did, they met over dessert and avoided discussions about the nuclear ambitions of Iran. Secretary Rice saying her counterpart didn't make an effort to meet her, adding, quote, "I'm not given to chasing anyone." The two were supposed to be seated across from each other at dinner, but the foreign minister left before guests were seated. Secretary Rice saying the U.S. wants no crisis or tension to get in the way of Iraq's success.
I reassured the Iraqi foreign minister when we talked about it that the United States has no desire to have anything contribute to a more difficult set of circumstances for Iraq. We want Iraq's neighbors to behave in a way that is consistent with a democratic and stable Iraq. That's why this conference was convened.
Meantime, the Bush administration notifying Congress it intends to sell over $500 million worth of ammunition and military gear to Iraq. USA Radio Network News.
He ends the day by turning on the computer to check his stocks. With the click of a mouse, he sees the alerts that tell him to sell two stocks and buy one that's in the watch list. Within 3 minutes, his trades are placed for the following morning. He smiles because he knows that before he even starts his workday tomorrow, he made more money on that trade than he makes in a week at his job. What program does he use to make money with such ease? It's Ross Jardine's Stock Investing Toolkit.
I'm Ross Jardine, and you can get my Stock Investing Toolkit for free. In this free investing toolkit, you get my instructional DVD and my easy-to-use stock investing software. See how a click of a mouse instantly brings you a list of hot stocks, how the automatic ranking score tells you which stocks are the safest investments on the list, and how buy and sell alerts help you make the most money on each trade. It's so easy, anyone can do it.
To get your free stock investing toolkit, call 1-800-894-6433. That's 1-800-894-6433. Get yours sent out today. Call 1-800-894-6433.
The St. Louis Cardinals getting the word Friday that relief pitcher Josh Hancock was drunk at the time of his fatal crash last weekend. Police and the medical examiner releasing the autopsy results, which indicate Hancock's blood alcohol level was .157, nearly twice the legal limit in Missouri. St. Louis manager Tony La Russa talks about the emotional impact on his team, the loss of Josh Hancock.
If you just put yourself in the position of losing a family member, which was what Josh was for us, it's sad. You know, there's no joy in what you do. I mean, everybody's examining. You end up examining yourself, I think, a lot.
In addition to his high blood alcohol level, Hancock was driving 68 miles an hour in a 55 zone. He was using a cell phone at the time of the wreck. He was not wearing a seatbelt. Police also say over an ounce of marijuana and a pipe were found in the SUV Hancock was driving. Hotel heiress Paris Hilton's been sentenced to jail for violating her probation. A judge thinks she'll spend 45 days in jail starting June 5th. USA Radio Network News.
Ready to become debt-free? Christian Credit Counselors can help. They'll provide you with a plan to get you out of debt by consolidating your debt into one affordable automatic payment. Stop creditors from calling, reduce or eliminate interest charges on some accounts, and lower your monthly payments just by calling Christian Credit Counselors at 877-348-FREE. All it takes is about 20 minutes to put you on the path to becoming debt-free. Call today, 877-348-FREE, or on the web at christianccc.org. Not available in all states.
The mayor of Los Angeles is taking charge of the city's role in the probe of this week's violence at MacArthur Park between LAPD officers and immigration protesters. Antonio Villarosa holding a news conference Friday evening and expressing shock over what he saw in videos of the event.
My direction, Chief Bratton, is undertaking an internal investigation of this decision the charter requires and the consent decree mandate. He's assured me they will take all appropriate disciplinary actions and make the needed policy changes to ensure that this never happens again.
The mayor is asking for witnesses to come forward, but some are calling the probe a witch hunt and are concerned that nobody will take the job of an L.A. police officer if City Hall doesn't do more to back the blue. The Canadian Postal System has decided to stop delivering mail to a home in Winnipeg. According to the Winnipeg Free Press, the action was taken because a mail carrier was scared away by what's being described as a very threatening cat. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jack DeRate reporting on the USA Radio Network.
If you think life is tough on your joints, imagine what it's like for world championship basketball player and seven-time All-Star Alonzo Mourning.
Basketball is tough on my joints, so taking care of them is serious business. I use FlexoFactor every day because it works. FlexoFactor soft gels work long-term to protect and strengthen my joints and cartilage. I wouldn't go a day without it.
You don't have to be a professional athlete to enjoy the benefits of FlexoFactor. Our exclusive natural formula contains five powerful ingredients, including omega-3s, that get to the source of joint discomfort. For flexible, lubricated joints and cartilage, take it from Big Zo.
There's a lot of different products out there that claim to keep joints healthy and strong. But the only one I trust is the only one I use, FlexoFactor. Don't start your day without it.
And now you can try FlexoFactor free. Call for details. 1-800-453-7121. That's 1-800-453-7121. It's a limited time offer. Call 1-800-453-7121.
Coast to coast, border to border. You've locked on to Sports Overnight America.
You certainly have logged on to Sports Overnight America. John Willard here with Christine Daniels of the Los Angeles Times and Jay Christensen, a colleague of Christine. Jay, we're going to, and Christine, we got about less than a minute here. Jay knows the drill. We'll come back with, after three more. We have to pay some bills here,
okay.
Christine, as you understand.
I understand.
And then we'll come back for a big for like 20 minutes after at 12 at 11 after the hour. But
okay.
Jay, so what? Who's coming on after 27? We have the fellow who is traveling trying to hit 119 college football sites, and he got in the name of Forrest Ebeshevsky. What is going on in Iowa City, Iowa, to this guy?
I don't know, John. I'm very disappointed in my former Hawkeyes back there treating Dave Fair so rudely.
Christine, there's a guy that's trying to hit every college football stadium, and he covered 2,000 miles in 3 days and hit 19 of them and 17 of them in 3 days. So, you know, just...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like, you know, every time you think you've heard it all.
Yeah.
You know.
It was treated rudely in Iowa City.
Yeah.
Which really hurt. That hurt.
Yeah. Jay's upset about that.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, we have about 3 minutes before of the commercials coming up, and we'll be back here on Sports Overnight America with Jay Christensen and Christine Daniels and the rest of you. We'll talk to you then.
Isn't it about time somebody did a handicapping show that's all about just that?
Better Player is going to be a winner.
Playing to Win, a new online show with host Andy Serling and The Bottom Line.
It's about how you can make more money in this game.
He does his homework.
She has one of the fastest buyer figs of 44 last time.
He and his guests are some of the best in the biz. They bring you new insights to making money, and they tell it like it is.
I'm 3-5-1 in this race, and the 3 is very much the one to beat. We're going to completely disagree on this race. I absolutely despise her, especially at 1-2.
And it's anything but the same old horse racing show.
This is a 9-horse field, but really there are 7 donkeys and 2 zebras.
Playing to Win with Andy Serling, a show seriously committed to making more money at the game, but with a personality.
This is a dunce cap horse for me. If this horse wins, next week I got the dunce cap on.
YouBet.com's Playing to Win, presented by the Daily Racing Form. Look for it the day before big race days, mostly Fridays. Find a complete schedule online at YouBet.com, in the Daily Racing Form, or at DRF.com.
What would you do with the extra money if you didn't have a mortgage payment? Secure your retirement? Pay for college? Invest in real estate? Travel? Is your home paid for free and clear? Or do you have a 30, 40, or even 50-year mortgage? Or worse, are you making interest-only payments with no reduction on the debt? If so, you're on a treadmill going nowhere fast. At United First Financial, we have great news. Our average client will pay off their 30-year mortgage in as little as 8 to 11 years, potentially saving thousands in interest. You don't need to refinance your existing mortgage. You don't need to make more money. And there's no need to alter your current lifestyle. Our Money Merge account can help you own your home years sooner, wipe out your debt, and have real financial independence. Our program works with fixed rate, interest only, and even NEGAM loans. This is not a biweekly mortgage program or a debt roll-down plan. Again, no refinance of your mortgage is needed. To receive our free DVD, please call 800-300-1096. That's 800-300-1096.
When other people say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now says, where would you like to sit? You like to control your own destiny. You do what you want to do, and you go where you want to go. Why not sit where you want to sit? Tickets Now has the choice seat for every major sport, concert, and theater event in North America. From the 50-yard line to orchestra seats to courtside, Tickets Now has the seat you really want. With Tickets Now, buying tickets is easy. And each transaction is backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to TicketsNow.com today, where the words sold out are not a part of our vocabulary. TicketsNow.com. That's TicketsNow.com. TicketsNow.com. TicketsNow.com.
You're listening to Sports Overnight America.
Welcome back to Sports Overnight America. John Ward here with Jay Christensen. Our guest is Christine Daniels of the Los Angeles Times. Christine, I wanted to ask you, being in Los Angeles certainly had to be an advantage. We talked about the woman in Florida that went through a lot of trauma. Certainly, you know, it had to be an advantage, and then your friends and people close to you rallying around you. That really must, like you said, you thought you were going to have a bad day, and you ended up having one of the greatest days of your life. But I'm certain that the ensuing days have been rewarding as well in that regard.
Yeah, and you know, in retrospect, the best thing I could have done is stayed at the Times and stayed in sports. Because the support I have just blown me away. I will say, within two weeks before I wrote that piece, before that piece came out, mm-hmm. I was talking with other editors at our paper about moving to a different section. And I was also considering just quitting the Times. I was watching what Susan Stanton went through in Florida, and I just said, I cannot go through that. I remember when I told Randy Harvey, he said, and he was just musing out loud. He was fresh to the news, and he was just kind of thinking out loud. He said, yeah, we'll get through this, but, you run the risk of being Don Imus for a week.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, Jay knows me, and Johnny knows me a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm an extremely private, shy person.
Right, you are, yeah.
I could not fathom that. I told Ryan, oh, come on. And he said, you never know how, you know, it's an unknown. You never know how our profession, sports media, is going to handle this story. They may try to portray you as the Renee Richards of sports writing. And I said, good Lord. And I thought about, I really thought about quitting the Times and going in a hole somewhere and trying to do this away from fanfare. And I consulted several friends of mine, recent friends of mine, who I've been put in contact with, who were journalists who transitioned in other jobs. None of them sports writers at the LA Times, however.
Desk
or copy editors at other papers. And one woman, a wonderful woman named Donna, just kind of like reached through the phone and kind of grabbed me by the lapels and shook me and said, you know, Christine, you've been at the Times for 23 years. You're at the LA Times. You're good at what you do. You're well-liked and well-respected. And where would you go Right. The Times. And I said, well, maybe a weekly or something, sort of weekly. And she said, Donna says, and how much do those papers
right.
pay?
And all that,
you know, what kind of salary, you know, could you find commensurate to what you're being paid at the LA Times after 23 years? And all that made sense. And the sports staff at the Times, as Bill Dwyer told me, he said, you're our family, Christine. We want to wrap a warm blanket around you. And it has blown me away. I mean, Jay, your reaction, and virtually everybody in the sports staff. I mean, it's like a transsexual dream in terms of acceptance. Everybody's calling me Christine. They want to meet Christine. Let's have coffee. Let's have lunch.
Right.
You know, we're so glad you're staying with us. It's so far from my expectation. I'm kind of speechless.
Well, I can vouch, and then you know, I know Jay has a question. I can vouch the fact that she had a lot of respect and a lot of people like you. I mean that, you know. I mean, I know that. I think that had to that also makes it easy for them to accept your decision as well. I mean, I know you can't. You feel a little shy about saying, yeah, people like me. But that is true. But, I mean, it must make it easier for them to accept what you've done as well. There's not a lot of animosity involved and all that.
Yeah, I guess. And, you know.
I mean, not there would be animosity about what you did, but, I mean, they like the person, you know. And then, so this makes it a lot easier for them to transition as well, because it's a transition for them as well, you know.
Yeah, it's been very interesting. You know, this is, you know, it's, as you can imagine, it feels like a total rebirth, but it's almost like reading, being at your own funeral. I mean, people are saying, what a great person, we love her, we love him, whatever. And I'm reading all this stuff, and it's incredible. I've heard from so many sports writers. I've heard from people I had not been in touch with since second grade, literally second grade, old roommates, sports writers I hadn't talked to in 10 years, you probably know this organization, the Association of Women in Sports Media, aka Awesome.
Yeah.
They have invited me with open arms to join, and I'm going to go down at the end of the month. I'm going to go down to their annual convention in Dallas and become a woman in sports media with them. I had no idea, A, how many friends I had in and out of the business, and B, how good those friendships were. Just, it blows my mind.
Christine Daniels is our guest here tonight, sports writer from the Los Angeles Times. Got to ask you, there's been a lot of interest in this story. Any book deals, any outside ventures coming along?
You knew that was coming, didn't you?
I'm laughing, Jay, because the last few days, oh my God, yeah, I there's Larry King Show really wants me to go on, and we're negotiating about that. I had a lunch with a producer of that show. Not signed on yet, but they might want to do a panel with Susan Stanton and myself and some others.
Mm-hmm.
And I might do that if they can do it in a dignified and educational way.
Yeah, and that would be important, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I told them flat out, and I said, you know, I watched the interview that they did about a month ago with Susan Stanton, and, you know, Larry King at some point asks Susan, his exact quote, his question was, so, you want to be your wife? And I almost feel blamed for this.
I know.
I mean, come on. I told the, you know, the woman, the producer, who's a very nice woman, and she's very, you know, upstanding journalist and her credentials and all that. And I said, are you kidding me? You know, whoever's debriefing Larry or who's ever writing his questions needs a stern talking to, and I'll give it to him before I go on that show. So we're trying to hammer that out. That's a couple months away if we do that. And I'm in the process of getting a book agent because through doing my blog, I just found out there's a crying need for this. People want to learn. If they have open minds and they're intelligent, they respond to this. They, you know, wow, you know, I didn't know about that. I'd like to learn more. And the transgender people and the parents of transgender people, parents of gay people, parents of a lot of people who, you know, handicapped or whatever, have challenges, they've just flooded me with emails. Please tell your story, Christine. This, you know, an inspiration. This means a lot. So I'm in a situation, like it or not, where I'm a spokesperson for all this, and I feel strongly about writing a book and hopefully helping people.
It must have been the first couple of days after this. It must have been incredible. Well, can you describe what it was like?
Yeah, it was, you know, I use the phrase rebirth, but even more than that. I mean, you know, you wait X. I expected the worst case scenario, the absolute worst case scenario, and I was, and it was probably a result of too many people getting involved in my case. I mean, once the word got out in the transgender community, and it's starting to galvanize, it's starting to, it's going to be a political force like you've never seen. When we start starting to get these high profile coming out cases, they've had them recently, but I was getting all this input about, you know, how I should do it, photo, no photo, all this stuff, and, you know, beware of what's going to happen the first day, and I was told by a variety of people that you're not, you should have someone come in, you know, stay at home and have someone come in and read your email and screen your email for you, and I had arranged for a friend to do that. Also, don't turn on the TV. Don't listen to talk show radios, and by all means, stay away from the internet thread discussions. That's gonna that could be brutal. And then somebody in my office the day before my story ran said, you know, I was. She told me I was talking to the head of security, and they said you might want to stay away from the office, the Times office, because there could be protests. And it's just unbelievable to fathom that, and you know, so you. And you just don't know what the reaction is going to be. And I was scared to death, you know, the day that you know, I filed the story and, you know, the Times, our editors, Jay, you might have been part of this meeting when they had a meeting and they told everybody that, you know, Mike is writing the story and come out. And they dealt with it in a special, you know, special way. They put, they edited it through a different system. They held it off the internet to the last minute possible. And I just couldn't sleep, so I was just, I said, well, I need someone to screen my email, but, I was curiosity killed the cat or whatever, so I went over, and the first few emails right around midnight or so, or when the story started circulating at the Times, were colleagues, and they were all supportive, and, you know, we're with you, and good luck, and all that, and then around, well, around, I remember the exact date, the exact time, 1:46 on Thursday morning came my first email from a reader. And probably someone on the East Coast who read it on the internet or something, and said, "You know, you go, girl." That was the and then about 10 minutes, 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, the next one came in and said, "You know, when you come back from vacation, you're going. The keyboard will be the same, the mouse will be the same, the writer will be the same, but you'll be using a much better operating system." That kind of set the tone, and you know, by Thursday morning, Thursday early afternoon. I was getting one email a minute, and by 5, 6 o'clock, I had, and I counted them, 538 emails, and two were negative. So it's just a drop, 180. Couldn't get farther from my expectations. Which, oh God, can I survive this? good grief! This is, you know, one of the best days I've ever had. You know, and it's carried me. I was on like a 72-hour high on that. It's just, you know. Indescribable, really.
You know that story that you wrote. I of course I read it. Well, one of the things I found it was funny. It was actually kind of charming in a way. Was the guy that you were going to tell, and you said you asked him if he'd seen the movie Transgender, and so you started explaining to him, and then he gets this confused look on his face. If I'm telling the story right, and then all of a sudden, and he goes, "Oh, I thought you said train spotting." And like he was relieved. I thought you were going to tell me you were a heroin addict.
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
And like
love
he was
that.
Relieved that the, you know, to tell. Oh, is this all you had to tell me? I thought it was going to be something serious, like being a heroin addict or something.
Yeah, I mean that was a funny way.
That's funny.
I've had that reaction from a lot of people. Like they're saying, "Well, that's all it is."
Is that all it is? Yeah.
Yeah, but that was that was hilarious. I thought you were telling me you're a heroin.
Train spotting? No, man.
Not train spotting. Trans America.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I said the title of the movie wrong. We're pleased that you chose to be on the air with us, and it means a lot to me. And that you trusted us to come on we certainly would not have taken any approaches that that you feared, you know. And I'm glad you thought you knew that. But the thing about King is eventually. The lore of being on and telling your story to such a wide audience is bound to be attractive, despite the fact that he sometimes says things that are untoward. You know.
Yeah, I mean that is I want to.
And the lure has to be there. Right?
Yeah, yeah, I know it's a consideration. Yeah, and if it helps people understand, if it's
that's what I'm thinking. Yeah,
I'm considering doing it. Yeah.
Do you consider yourself? We only have just maybe two or three more minutes here.
is there something we haven't touched on? One, but do you consider yourself, just by virtue of your career, I know you're a private person, which has probably made you reticent about, you know, going through the whole media mill, but you might have been thrust into a situation where you can be a leader, you know, a pace setter because of your, pace setter might be a bad, you know, not exactly the right word, but, you know, your position as a sports writer, being a public figure, you can, you're thrust in a position where you can be a leader and maybe perhaps accomplish something for people who are more anonymous than yourself.
Well, yeah, John, that is the word thrust, and I've used that a lot lately talking
yeah.
about the situation, and this has been thrust upon me.
Because you wouldn't have chosen this for yourself.
Oh, no, I if I could have just, you know, shown up, you know, had a little staff meeting and say this is going to happen,
yeah.
you know, and I'll be showing up in a dress tomorrow, you know. and a nice one, too, but, yeah, I would have referred it that way, but maybe there's a cause and reason for this. Maybe the landscape is, the landscape has changed enough.
Yeah.
I've had more than a couple friends say, you know, it's probably good you waited this long because 10 years ago there wouldn't have been this kind of
yeah.
acceptance or this kind of open-mindedness that I'm finding now. And yeah, I think you know there's probably a reason that you know whoever decided that the high-profile writer with communication skills and the LA Times platform
right.
behind her can spread the message a little bit. I do think there's some rhyme or reason to that.
Jay, any questions you want to...
Christine, do you have anything you think we've missed here that
yeah.
we should cover?
Well, there's one thing I was thinking on a commercial break that I kind of started on and then I
yeah,
finished.
Go ahead.
I want to talk about the difference between a transitioning, quote-unquote, and the surgery. They're totally different. Transition is defined as a transsexual living and working full-time in their preferred and authentic gender, period.
Right.
It has nothing to do with genitals. Genitals, you know, gender identity is what's in your head and in your heart and in your soul. It has nothing to do with genitals. People get so fixated on
that. Right.
So if you ask me, have I transitioned? Am I living and working full-time in my authentic gender? Yes. So I have a transition now.
Okay.
And I'm so happy and so fulfilled, and it feels like my life is just beginning.
Yeah, what I found a little ironic, it's an irony, you talked about, I asked a question, you talked about straight men that go and do this, and then they find themselves still attracted to women. Then you get a little confusing there now, because now you might have a guy that was once straight, now thinking, like, if he's a woman, if he wants to be with other women, that there might be, you know, is that a person a lesbian or not? There's that kind of confusion involved.
The terminology gets so confusing.
Yeah.
Kind of humorous. You know, I said, okay, let me see. I'm a heterosexual man, meaning I like like women, I'm attracted to women. Then I transition and I'm still attracted to women.
Oh,
I'm
no.
a lesbian. You know, or I'm a gay man and I transition. I'm still attracted to men, but I'm a woman now, so now I'm a heterosexual.
Yeah, that's right.
There's so much of this is your head spins, but
yeah,
we'll have to figure out a better way to explain all this someday.
Well, it's really been great having you, and it's been very insightful. And I honestly can say I have not heard. People mentioned where I worked. I'm now at Investors Business Daily, and you know, and nobody said you know anything. It was like it was an interesting story, but it, I'm just letting you know that if everything I've heard, it says that nothing's been negative about this. Just and maybe curiosity more than as much as anything, but nothing negative. It's just well, you know, and I think it is a product of the times of what has happened, and people have learned a little. Maybe the edge has been rounded off a little bit.
Finding that, and guys, he gave us a very, a very respectful treatment. And Jay, you and I have been colleagues and friends for a long time, and this has been a lot to me. And John,
yeah.
about 12 years ago, we played soccer.
Yeah, I never did figure out that offside, with the offside trap. Somebody's going to have to explain that one to me.
I never could figure out
the offside trap. I'm sorry. Christine is a pretty good soccer player. I'm going to tell you guys.
Well, thank you, John. I've been invited to play on a women's team, too. That's interesting. But I want to tell John. Next time we have our soccer reunion, there's going to be a uniform change involved.
Yes. yeah, I know. Well, yeah. You know what? I'm not going there, okay? But we'd love to have you back anytime.
Oh, yeah.
And certainly, Jay. And next time we'll talk about sports.
Yeah, and, you know, let's do the NFL thing.
I'd love to have you because I've been reading your column for years, and well, that would be good, so we'll do it. And like Randy Harvey says, you can't say we're not diverse around here, right?
yeah, number one in diversity on the radio.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Christine.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Take care.
Christine Daniels, everybody, fine sports writer for the Los Angeles Times, telling her story, and it's an interesting one. We'll be back after this on Sports Overnight America.